Welcome to Supernatural Podcast, episode 26 for Simon Said, which originally aired in the U.S. on October 26, 2006. Let's jump right into the recap. Dr. Jennings gets a call on his cell phone and has visions of shooting someone with a shotgun. Smiling, he goes into a sporting goods store and examines a shotgun, loads it, shoots the owner, and then kills himself. Elsewhere, Sam has a vision of the shooting in the future and picks up on the name of the town from his vision. So Sam insists that they go to the roadhouse and talk to Ash, since he figures his vision is somehow tied to the demon. Dean is reluctant, since the hunters there might suspect that Sam has psychic powers.
There's gonna be hunters there. I don't know if going in and announcing that you're some supernatural freak with a demonic connection is the best thing, okay?
So I'm a freak now?
I've always been a freak.
Ash doesn't turn up anything until Sam suggests he check for house fires in 1983. Joe plays REO Speedwagon's song I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore and flirts with Dean while he waits for Sam. He says he cannot run off with her because he's scared of her mother. They're interrupted when Ash gets a lead on Andrew Gallagher. Dean notices that despite the fact Andrew is behind on his bills, no collection agency is trying to track him down. It's like he just disappeared. Dean and Sam pass themselves off as lawyers and track Andrew down, and the diner owner, an old friend of Andy, Tracy, tells him that they won't have any luck getting anything from him. She sends him to Andy's house, and while they watch, Sam wonders what plans the demon has for him and the other children.
Killers?
Yeah.
So the demon wants you out there killing with your minds, is that it? Well, give me a break. You're not a murderer, Sam. You don't have it in your bones.
No? Last I checked, I kill all kinds of things.
Those things were asking for it.
They see Andy come out and meet with the shooter from Sam's vision, Dr. Jennings. Dean follows Andy, who stops, gets out, and asks for the Impala, which Dean just hands over to him. Sam sees the doctor take a call from his vision, and he goes into the sporting goods store ahead of the doctor and sets off the security alarm. Sam sees Andy go by in the Impala, making a call to Jennings, while Dean calls in to explain that Andy has mind control powers.
He full-on Obi-Wan'd me. It's mind control, man.
Before Sam can do anything at all, Andy tells Jennings to walk into a bus where he's killed. Andy goes to the diner to get comfort from Tracy, and she mentions that Dean and Sam are looking for him. Sam and Dean find the Impala and figure out Andy has to use verbal commands. They break into Andy's van while Dean questions Andy's guilt, and much to Sam's surprise. Andy confronts them, and while Sam is immune to his powers, Dean tells him everything. Sam goes after Andy and explains that they're connected. Sam gets another future vision of someone setting themselves on fire at a gas station, and elsewhere a woman gets a call on her cell phone and is told to cover herself in gasoline and set herself on fire. Sam collapses from the vision and thinks it's happening in the future. Just then they see a fire engine race by, and Dean goes to check it out while Sam stays with Andy. It can't be Andy because he was with them the whole time. So Dean checks out the dead woman and finds out that Andy was adopted, and using Andy's powers, they locate copies of the birth records.
Probably shouldn't have let you kids in here.
No, it'll all be fine. All right, just go get a cup of coffee, all right? And these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Awesome.
They find out that Holly Beckett was Andy's birth mother and Dr. Jennings was her doctor, who also orchestrated the adoption.
Holly Beckett gave birth to twins.
I have an evil twin.
They find a photo and they recognize the other man as he's the busboy at the diner. At the diner, the busboy, Weber, talks to Tracy about dating Andy and then demands that she tell him the truth. Andy reveals that Weber showed up 8 months ago and acted like a friend. Sam gets another vision of Tracy falling to her death after involuntarily jumping off a dam. So Weber drives Tracy to a dam and tells her that she cannot come between Andy and him, and he tells her to go to the edge of the dam and jump. But he is interrupted when Sam breaks the window and drags him out. Somehow, Sam is immune to the mind control. They tape Weber's mouth shut, and while Sam and Andy struggle over what to do, Weber reveals that through practice he can control her without speaking. His power is stronger than Andy and sends her to the edge of the dam. Weber talks about a man with yellow eyes who came to him and told him he was special and had big plans for him. At a distance, Dean sets up a rifle while Weber talks about how he killed Jennings and Beckett because they split the brothers up. Weber senses Dean and commands him to shoot himself, but Andy intervenes and kills him first. Later, Weber is taken away and Andy uses his powers to convince the police that Weber shot himself. Tracy ignores Andy and Sam and Dean prepare to leave, although Sam gives him his cell phone number so that he can get a hold of him if he needs to. They head out, but Sam is worried the demon could drive any of the children to become murderers. As they leave, Dean gets a call from Ellen. Back at the roadhouse, Ellen wants to know what's going on, but Dean says it's family. She reveals she got the information from Ash and wants to know everything they know for the coming war. Sam confesses to Ellen his abilities and notes that Weber wasn't involved in a house fire, and there may be others out there that don't fit the pattern. So let's do some analysis and talk about some theories. I want this power. If there's a supernatural power, I want mind control. It would be so useful. Sure beats premonitions that give you terrible headaches. We are given several clues in this episode, but in classic Kripke style, it only leads us to more questions. But I am so excited that we see Sam's powers brought up again. It was about time to get back to the main story arc. As for the new characters, I am really starting to like Ellen. Joe was not quite as annoying in this episode, and I found the Ario discussion and flirting a nice, nice change of pace. I love that Dean was singing Ario in the car. Sam looked at him like he was nuts. Could Dean be falling for Joe? Kripke says that Dean will not be tied down at all, but some romance might be good for him. I like the fact that they keep going back to the roadhouse. A central location gives them more stability, but it also causes problems with the travel. I'll talk about this in a moment. Dean made a comment about not wanting to go to the roadhouse because other hunters would be there. Did he mean just Ash, Joe, and Ellen, or do other hunters hang out there? If they do, we have yet to see others. Besides, Dean needed to start thinking in terms of accepting and trusting others if they want to win the war. At the end of the episode, Ellen finally got through to him a little bit about how the war will affect everyone and that they're not just individuals. The lack of locations at the beginning of the episodes are really starting to bother me. With a central base, like the roadhouse, it's more difficult for the guys to venture all over and still maintain real time. The fans would just not buy a shot of them at the roadhouse and the next shot there in New York without an explanation or indication of time loss. The demon broke his pattern. This is huge. Now it'll be really hard to locate the other people with powers. But it's interesting that one twin followed the pattern and the other twin that was contacted by the demon didn't follow the pattern. Why did the demon choose to go to Weber and not Andy? The tidbit that is bothering me most is why Sam was reluctant to mind control. Because he is connected to them or because he has a power? Will this give him the ability to locate other children like him or give him the upper hand in defeating the evil ones? Are the children with powers destined to be killers, like Sam said? Anyone can be a killer if they're prompted in just the right time and place. The demon uses something to entice them to snap and join the demon. Could there be some connecting event to trigger them all at once, or is it on an individual basis? Maybe killing Jessica was supposed to be his trigger, but Dean was there to stop him from his snapping. And more importantly, when will the demon contact Sam? I really don't have any answers to these questions. They're new. They're things I kind of thought of once in a while, but didn't really connect, and knew that I really wouldn't be able to come up with any new theories until Kripke gave us some little tidbits to play off of. So there you are, some new things to think about. Let's move on to the legends and references. There were two references to Star Wars in this episode. And let's talk about hypnosis and mind control, and this is by Greg. When you hear the word hypnosis, you may picture the mysterious hypnotist figure popularized in movies, comic books, and television. This ominous goateed man waves a pocket watch back and forth, guiding his subject into a semi-sleep, zombie-like state. Once hypnotized, the subject is compelled to obey no matter how strange or immoral the request. Muttering, "Yes, master," the subject does the hypnotist's evil bidding. This popular representation bears little resemblance to actual hypnotism, of course. In fact, modern understanding of hypnosis contradicts this conception on several key points. Subjects in a hypnotic trance are not slaves to their masters. They have absolute free will, and they are not really in a semi-sleep state. They're actually hyper-attentive. Our understanding of hypnosis has advanced a great deal in the past century, but the phenomenon is still a mystery of sorts. In this article, we'll look at some popular theories of hypnosis and explore the various ways hypnotists put their art to work. Mind control is a general term for a number of controversial theories proposing that an individual's thinking, behavior, emotions, or decisions can, to a greater or lesser extent, be manipulated arbitrarily by outside sources. The feasibility of such control and the methods by which it may be attained, either direct or more subtle, are both subject to hot debates among psychologists, neuroscientists, and sociologists. Also, the exact definition of mind control and the extent of its influence on the individual are debated. The different views on the subject do have legal implications. Mind control was an issue, example, in the court case of Patty Hearst, and also in several court cases regarding the new religious movements. Also, questions of mind control are regarding ethical questions linked to the subject of free will. The question of mind control has been discussed in conjunction with religion, politics, prisoners of war, totalitarianism, neutral cell manipulation, cults, terrorism, torture, parental alienation, and even battered person syndrome. The U.S. military apparently has dabbled into mind control for spying and surveillance. Project MKULTRA, also known as MKUltra, was the codename for a CIA mind control research program that began in the 1950s and continued until the late 1960s. There is much published evidence that the project involved not only the use of drugs to manipulate persons, but also the use of electronic signals to alter brain functioning. CIA documents suggest that the agency considered and explored uses of radiation for the purpose of mind control as part of MKUltra. Other early efforts focused on LSD, which appears to have formed the majority of research as time went on. Experiments including administering the drug to CIA employees, military personnel, doctors, other government agents, prostitutes, mentally ill patients, and members of the general public in order to study their reactions, usually without the subject's knowledge. There is no evidence that the CIA or anyone else has actually succeeded in controlling a person's actions through the mind control techniques that are known to have been attempted in the MKUltra projects. The file deconstruction makes a full investigation of claims impossible. Interestingly enough, the assassination of Robert Kennedy by Sirin Sirin was supposed to be perpetrated by mind control. When questioned about the incident, Sirin always says he has no recollection of the shooting. Next, we have the articles and editorials section. These are a few supernatural websites to check out by Krista. The first is Winchester Times Live Journal Community. All of these website links will be in the show notes. But this is community.livejournal.com/Winchester Times. It's a great resource for anyone who loves this show and thinks that the CW is not doing enough to promote it. A fan collective who is working in big ways and small to chip away at the giant ratings block that Grey's Anatomy and CSI grab every week. Banners, icons, where to find polls, and sites that are looking for fan input where you can help Supernatural have a good showing. Quote, this community has been designed as a flagship to help promote Supernatural and gather new viewers, as Supernatural is sorely underpromoted by the CW and in its bloodbath time slot, which takes matters that are much worse. Supernatural has the roughest slot of all the shows on the CW. It's up against CSI, Grey's Anatomy, The OC, basketball playoffs, and Deal or No Deal. If things keep up, Supernatural will be forced to fight ninja Chuck Norris off with both hands tied behind its back. Us loyal fans want to give our little horror show a fighting chance, and hopefully this place will help in that respect. Next, Supernatural newsletter on LiveJournal. This is community.livejournal.com/SPN newsletter. This site collects all the day's fanfic, pic spams, art vids, news, clips, communities, episode reviews in one neat spot and delivers it to your LiveJournal every day. Sometimes the huge, vast space of fandom can be quite overwhelming, and it's a great way to catch up fast. Fanfic is labeled with a rating, organized into sections so you know what you're getting. It's an amazing resource. Next, we have super.emedian.net. For pure eye candy fun, try super.emedian.net. If you want to see spoilers for the upcoming episodes, try the site for beautiful, high-quality promo pictures. The site has rare clips, videos, and other special features. Plastic Winchester Theater, which is anteka.livejournal.com. Holy cow, this fan production has its own cult status within the fandom, and one glance at the hilarious pictures of Plastic Sam and Plastic Dean living out their plastic lives will tell you why. They team up with Plastic Buffy, fight the Monster of the Week with Barry White, have crazy hotel rooms with pictures of kittens on the walls, and seem to hug quite a bit. Just like the real show. Or not. There's 18 episodes so far, and they're a great way to spend a lazy afternoon laughing your guts out. I have to comment here. I just absolutely died when I read Plastic Winchester Theater. I was laughing so hard, and I was on my lunch break, and I had to hurry and get back before I was late for work. It's hilarious. You should really go check it out. And of course, the official site, supernatural.warnerbrothers.com. This is where it all began. The official site has changed a bit since last season, with the Metallicar no longer parked outside of Constance's house on Breckenridge Road, but in an unknown and spooky roadside location. Everything that was open to be looked at last season is still there, from the pad of definitions to John's very intriguing journal with entries about the days directly after. The box in the back still lights up and can't be cracked. This site probably requires flash to reach its most effective peak. If you click on the window to get out of the car, you can get into the trunk and click on the laptop. Hey, that thing should have been burned to a crisp. Sam will ably apply his password to the Hunter's blogs. But we haven't seen any information about where we will find the passwords to the individual blogs, but hopefully that'll turn up soon. The key to the site is the way it really captures the show's creepy feeling and does seem to be the place to find odd information that just can't fit into the show. Be sure to check in once in a while. We had three songs this episode: Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon, Stonehenge by Spinal Tap, and Fell in Black Days by Soundgarden. So let's move on to the song of the night. Greg recommended that I play Gary Jules' version of the song Mad World, which is perfect for this episode, and I love that song. If you don't know it, look it up. It's on the Donnie Darko soundtrack and seems to be everywhere these days. But for copyright reasons, I can't play it for you. Bummer. The song of the night tonight is Fall Away by Fissure. Enjoy.
Time, finding ways to collapse down. repair. Stop wasting time finding ways to collapse down, to comfort live. It works itself out.
We have another person joining the staff. Jess will be developing the music segment and discuss the role of music on the show, the artist played, so forth. Please join me in welcoming her to our team. I'll formally introduce her when she starts next week. As far as the panel, I'm working on developing it a bit more, and I'm still looking for one more person. We use Skype, and it's a small but dedicated time commitment. Email me for more information. That's it for this episode. Our next podcast will cover episode 206, No Exit. It looks scary, finally. I've been posting some supernatural love on my personal blogs, and I got a reply to a post by a good friend of mine. She just watched the pilot and wanted to know if the rest of the episodes were as dark and scary. She was a huge fan of Buffy and Angel, and I think she'll like the series. The show is doing well in the ratings, but we need to attract all the viewers we can. Here is the public service announcement. Tell everyone how great the show is. One of my usual email correspondents, Albert, has been trying to spread the supernatural love around his middle school and even writing up an article in his school newspaper. I know people are concerned that they think it'll be hard to jump in and watch given that, you know, it's already part of the way through season two, but the backstory is presented at the beginning of each episode, and you can always direct them to great websites like the ones that we mentioned tonight. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Podcast. You can visit my website at supernaturalpodcast.blogspot.com or send me an email at supernaturalpodcast@gmail.com. Please note that the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and not of the producers of Supernatural or the CW. Audio clips played on this podcast are property of the CW and no infringement is intended. Some of the music heard here is from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.